Jesus, Jesus, name above all names, the only name by which we must be saved. The only name by which we must be saved. The text for proclamation tonight is the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, a verse that a lot of people kind of waffle on, or a verse that people ignore or avoid, because it says there is salvation under no other name than the name of Jesus. The name that was given to Mary and Joseph before Messiah was born. The angel said, and you will call his name Jesus because he will save God's people from their sins. Jesus, God saves. The Lord is our salvation. Names communicate purpose and destiny and calling and vocation. Jesus, crucified for our sins and raised for our redemption. Names. In the early church, and in more recent years, they would refer to baptism as a christening. And the word christen means to name or to put into useful service. And there were times that some priests, because kids wouldn't necessarily have their names yet, when the priest would be standing here and looking at the parents and saying, and what is the christening name? What's the Christian name? And if parents were trying to be kind of outside the box and too creative, then the priest might say, ain't gonna happen. Give me another name. They wanted a good, solid name, a name that the child could grow up into and would represent destiny and purpose. Christening, to name, to put into useful service. One of our kids was christened Rachel Mary Stephenson. Now, Rachel, like a lot of kids, got a little nickname, and a lot of times we'd say, hey, Ray, or because she had this flaming red hair, hey, Red. But if it was a serious matter, if you really wanted someone to listen and pay attention, Rachel Mary, you know what I'm talking about. It's not just the tone of the voice, it's the name that communicates something of significance. Now, not all of you are as old as I am, but some of you remember the 70s and the 80s, and you'll remember that there was a commercial series on the television. E.F. Hutton and Company, an investment firm, number two in the nation for many decades, reputable, honest, a fantastic reputation. And there were these commercials, and people might be all carrying on a conversation in a pool or in an airport around the carousel getting their luggage and stuff, and then you'd have a couple of people, and one would say to the other, well, my broker says that I should diversify, that I shouldn't have all my eggs in one basket, but what does your broker say? And everybody's talking, and nobody's paying attention, and then the guy says, well, my broker is E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton says, and everybody is dead silent, and everybody is listening and paying attention. And of course, the slogan on the screen in those days was, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Names. Names communicate something of importance. And what Peter is preaching in the book of Acts in our first lesson for tonight is, there is no greater name. There's no name that has greater importance than the name of Jesus, which means Savior, which means the Lord is our salvation. But that is considered to be offensive and perhaps even arrogant, certainly intolerant to many people in the world. The name of Jesus. Well, we're looking at the book of Acts, so let's remind ourselves of how we got to chapter 4. Because in chapter 1, before Jesus ascended into the heavens, he promised his followers that they would be clothed with power from on high. The Holy Spirit would be their dynamite, and it would be explosive. And then they would be witnesses throughout the whole world, proclaiming the name of Jesus. And on the 40th day, Jesus ascended into the heavens, and then the early church, 120 souls, they devoted themselves to prayer as they waited for the fulfillment of promise. And that promise came, chapter 2, Pentecost Sunday. The mighty rushing wind. And everybody was hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own language. And then some of the people scoffed and said, well, it's 9 in the morning and these guys are drunk already. And others said, no, something big is happening. What does this mean for us? And Peter said, time for a sermon. And he preached, and he preached, and he preached, and there was an indictment against the people because they were the ones that crucified the Messiah, put him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead. And at the end of Peter's sermon, the people are filleted open. They're cut to the heart, and they cry out, what must we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. For the promise is for you and for your children and for others, all whom God calls to himself. Repent and be baptized, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. An anointing, a marking. What's the oil for? Well, to keep us working, is what Cave said. Yeah, running, working, proclaiming, telling the world about the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus. Well, then we come to chapter 3, and chapters 3 and 4 is one complete unit and story. And it begins with Peter and John doing what the early church is doing, because in the early church, on Pentecost Sunday, 3,000 souls were baptized and added to the faith community and became people of the way. And it says that they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. The prayers happened at certain times of the day in the temple. And so this is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour, and Peter and John are going up for the prayers. It's prayer time, and on the way, they meet a man who's been crippled since birth, a lame man. And every day, his family and friends are laying him at the gate that's called Beautiful so that he can beg and ask for a handout. So when Peter and John come, he says, alms, alms, alms for the poor. And Peter says, we ain't got no money, but we got something way better. No silver, no gold, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And when I was a kid, the age of your kids there, you know, when I was small, we learned this story in Acts chapter 3. And it was put to the words of a song. I bet you some of you know this. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. He held out his palm and asked for an alms. And this is what Peter did say. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And you know what that man did? The man that had been lame since birth? He went walking and leaping and praising God, walking and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's what the world's for. so that we can work, we can rise up, and we can walk to the praise and glory of God. And everyone was amazed because they knew this guy who asked for alms. And now the Bible says he was completely healed. That's not just going to Mayo and getting a medical reprieve. He was completely healed. In the name of Jesus, his sins were forgiven and he was saved. And Peter is preaching, and it says that the church is growing to 5,000. And what's amazing about his sermon proclamation, Peter was a man of law and gospel. He preached the whole word. He begins with a disclaimer. He says, first of all, you got to give credit to whom credit is due. We didn't do this. This is not our power. And he's doing all of this through the Holy Spirit. He knows that everything he says, everything he does, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, after he gives credit to whom credit is due, to Jesus, to the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I Am, then he does the indictment. He's not a preacher that's just going to sugarcoat things or make everything kind of sweet and palatable. He's not worried about offending people. I mean, he goes right for the jugular. This Jesus whom you crucified, you put the Lord of life to death. You handed him over to the cross. But God raised him up from the dead. Now, you acted in ignorance, Peter says. You love it when a preacher says, you folks are ignorant? That's what Peter's saying. You acted in ignorance. But now's the time. Now's the time to repent, to turn around, and to have all of your sins removed. Blot it out. He kept preaching and preaching until finally the authorities got upset. And that's our lesson for tonight. I mean, did you hear the names of these big guns? Annas, Caiaphas, the Sadducees. This is the Sanhedrin. This is the governing party of 70. These are the big shots that they've called in now. And they arrest Peter and John, and now they're being interrogated. Caiaphas was the high priest when Jesus was crucified. And his father-in-law had preceded him. His name was Annas. And then there's the name John. Some people think it's probably referring to Jonathan, who was Caiaphas' son, who became the next high priest. And then did you hear what they said? Who gave you the authority? Who gave you the power? In whose name have you done this? Don't you know that we call the shots here? Don't you know that you have to get permission from us to do this kind of stuff? We can't just have everybody going out there and healing the lame. And Peter says, well, if you're asking how it is that we did this good deed, he's filled with the Holy Spirit and he says, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And then he looks right at Caiaphas and Annas and the Sadducees who didn't even believe in the resurrection. And he says, you crucified him. It was under your watch that this happened. But God raised them from the dead. And there is salvation under no other name. He quotes Psalm 118, Luther's favorite psalm. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. But did you hear what he does in our text? Peter looks at these big shots in the Sanhedrin and he says, you are the builders who rejected the stone that God designated as the cornerstone. Now, what I find interesting about our gospel, or our first reading for tonight, is if you go to the next verse, verse 13, it says that all of these big shots in the Sanhedrin, they look at this, and here's what they say. These guys are illiterate. But we've never seen this kind of boldness anywhere. They were with Jesus. They kept company with Jesus. The source of boldness for proclamation, for the name of Jesus, is keeping company with the Christ, walking with Him, the name above all names. Now, this past week, I thought, you know, I got to see what other people are doing with this text, Acts 4:12. So I looked at a whole bunch of commentaries, and I looked at a whole bunch of sermons. And everybody just kind of diluted it and watered it down, because evidently people prefer a God of tolerance and inclusivity, a generic kind of white label, what I call a manufacture of our own self-image and self, because it's all about the self-actualization. Instead of being created in God's image, we just imagine or image God according to our own likeness. And they were waffling and they were backpedaling about what this means. And they've done the same thing with John 10. They'll say, well, Jesus said he had sheep of other fold. Yeah, the Gentiles who weren't part of the Jewish, but they would become part of the new Israel of God. And he said, they're also going to be enfolded and they're going to follow me. And they'll listen to me. Where do we get this idea that everybody's just on their own unique path, but we're all headed to the same destination? There's salvation under no other name than the name of Jesus. Already in the year 2002, and be honest, anybody in here ever watch the show called The View? They've changed who the gals are, you know. Meredith Vieira, I think, was a part of it in 2002. Anyway, there was an episode, and I didn't watch that episode, but I read about this past week. Already in 2002, there was one of the four gals who had a very successful weight loss. I mean, a huge amount of weight loss. And so she's telling the rest about this, and they're all saying, wow, this is amazing, and how do you explain this? And she said, thank you, Jesus. All I can say is, thank you, Jesus. But, this is ABC, the leaders on the ABC network, they bleeped the name of Jesus because that would be offensive. It's okay for people to use Jesus or Christ for profanity, but this woman was trying to give credit to the one who had helped her heal in terms of her weight loss, and they bleeped it. Now, contrast that with what happened on April 9th in Des Moines, Iowa, at the Iowa State Legislature, where a woman who's 41 years old and who is a Wiccan priestess and who is a leader of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Pagans was invited to give the opening prayer for the legislative session. Because we need to be tolerant and inclusive. But the name of Jesus is always, always going to be offensive. Look at the Gospel of John. When the New Testament gospel writers wrote their gospels, you don't have to use the definite article, the. You can just leave it as it is, and it's a. the letter A. And yet every time in the Gospel of John, when Jesus identifies himself as ego eimi, I am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God in the burning bush to Moses, every time he doesn't say, well, I am a vine, I am a light, I am a way, I am a shepherd. Every single time in the Gospel of John, Jesus, it offends people, I know, but he says, I am the door, gate to eternal life. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I know my own know me. By name, they follow me. They listen to me. I give them eternal life, and no one can snatch them out of my hands. The Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. Name above all names. I'm the true vine, he says. I'm the light of the world, he says. I'm the resurrection, the life. And then in his farewell discourse, I'm the way, the truth, the life. The. Definitive. No one comes to the Father but by me. So what are we to do? Well, we're not going to be able to push Jesus down anybody's throat. Today, Oasis had a wonderful celebration here in the church. Santhi is from India, and her whole family has come over to the United States from India. And they had about 100, 125 people here today. She's the only one in her family that has converted to Christianity. And yet they were all here in worship today. And Pastor Dan Brooklyn here at Oasis, he said, well, I knew that we wouldn't get very far if we just pushed Jesus down people's throats. I said, that's interesting. I said, because that's our lesson for tonight, Acts 4:12. You don't push Jesus down anybody's throat. Here's what I think happens. This is my bias. If we're going to try to defend or explain Acts 4:12, we'll get nowhere. So just do what Peter does. Filled with the Holy Spirit, keeping company with Christ, just preach. Preach the gospel that Jesus is the name above all names and that there is salvation under no other name but the name of Jesus. Jesus. By what authority do you do these things? As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, the name of Jesus, I declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You'll notice that for our song of the day, the words are printed on page 2 of your book.